All right, time to chop it up with John Wilner, the great John Wilner at Wilner Hotline. His content, of course, on the website and across the fruited plain. John is known in and out of the college circles of having big news. Okay, this was news that you had talked about with me last week, and I kind of glanced over it because of the Graham Rossini impending hire and some other things. And I want to go back and just chop it up with you, really go granular, because I've had people ask me, so what does this mean for college athletics, this big announcement? Is this the biggest story in the history of college athletics as we know it? I don't know. I'm going to defer to you the magnitude of what was announced on Thursday.
Momentous, to say the least. It is arguably the biggest change in college athletics because it eliminates amateurism. No longer are the athletes considered, you know, unpaid labor, amateurs. They are going to have a revenue sharing agreement with the schools that, you know, we don't know all the details. And there's there is a lot in the details. We are over a year from this whole thing getting implemented. But the bottom line is, moving forward, athletes are going to get up to $20 million a year from their athletic departments in a revenue sharing agreement. We don't know how the schools are going to disperse that $20 million. Is 19.9 going to football and men's basketball? We don't know. That's to play out. But certainly, strictly from an economic sense, a fairness issue, the athletes are now getting a cut.
So the days of, well, they're getting a scholarship and that's great, they should just be happy to get that, those are gone by the wayside. The days
those are gone.
The basketball player DePaul in the dead of winter who has somebody go buy him a jacket for $75 and that's an NCAA violation, those days are gone.
Gone. Now, we've been moving to this, right? I mean, NIL, which was implemented in the summer of 2021, allowed them to get compensation, but that was outside the system. This is money coming from the system directly out of the athletic department's budgets, right? And that's a whole nother issue that needs to get resolved. How are the schools going to pay for this, right? Mm-hmm. Most of these schools are, you know, running deficits with help from campus, right? A lot of them get 5, 10, 20 million, including the Arizona schools, 20 million or more from campus every year. And they're still barely breaking even or not even breaking even. And now you add a $20 million line item to their expenses and they're going to have to figure out how to pay for it. Right. And here's the other piece. We don't know what Title IX implications are. Right. Are the schools going to have to, is it going to be $10 million for men, male athletes, $10 million for female athletes? We don't know that. Are sports going to get cut as the result of this? We don't know that. And here's the other piece. NIL is not going anywhere, right? There's still going to be collectives run by boosters that are offering money for promotional services as well. So it doesn't end NIL. There's no, we don't know about the Title IX piece. We don't know how the money is going to get distributed among the athletes, and we don't know how the schools are going to pay for it. So there's a lot of unknowns.
John Wilner with us. So let me just take this from this level. I'm a high school senior, and I am going to go to said university, and I'm being recruited to play said sport. On campus, they're going to pay me, but I can also go get NIL. So I'm like an NFL player where an NFL player signs his contract, gets paid by the team, but I can go do outside endorsements all day long.
Yep.
Okay. So that's where that's going. The gender equity, the Title IX side of it. John, I may be missing something here, but if you make it 15 million for the men and 5 million for the women, that's not going to work. If there's more men's sports than women's sports, that's not going to work. Someone's going to challenge this. Am I missing something here? This has got to be same amount of women's sports as men's sports. It's got to be the same amount of money from the 20 million. It's got to be split down the middle because that just makes sense. Am I missing
something? They think the attorneys for the plaintiffs think that they have solved that problem. Only the courts will will decide that. The way they, the reason they think they've solved it is that the revenue sharing is based on NIL. In other words, it is based on the use of the athlete's name, image, and likeness in the media rights deals that the conferences have with the ESPN and Fox.
And let me just jump in here. And that's where all this started. Once the money from television came in and started flowing in, that's when everything changed. And it's gotten us to this day, right?
Yes. Oh, for sure. And because they think that because the revenue sharing money is earmarked for NIL use in media, which is a market-based, essentially a market-based economy, that Title IX won't apply because the money is not rooted in higher education or educational opportunity, athletic opportunity. That's separate. I don't know if that's going to work, but they believe that earmarking it as the revenue sharing as NIL based will avoid Title IX challenges. I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to see Title IX challenges, and the courts will have to decide if calling the revenue sharing NIL means it's Title IX doesn't apply. We'll see. I should have gone to law school for sure. I should have gotten my MBA. I mean, there's a lot of things I should have done to be able to cover college sports these days. It's bananas.
No, but the business side of sports, it's what you do. John Wilner for a few minutes. So there's a lot that John has been doing on this front. What do you like most about this announcement?
Well, it provides some clarity. And college sports for two or three years has been immersed in this chaos. This provides a little bit of clarity in terms of what the future is going to look like. You know, I said in my column last night, it's not there's a lot that's still going to happen. It's not the beginning of the end. It's kind of the end of the beginning, which is, a Churchill line, because I was watching a World War II documentary recently. But it gives us some kind of clarity as to what's going to happen. And it certainly indicates that the schools that have more resources, more tradition, bigger stadiums, more season ticket sales, more revenue, they are going to be able to navigate this successfully. The schools that don't have as much are going to get squeezed further. It's going to add to the bifurcation of the haves and have-nots. So, you know, I think it pushes us even closer to this some kind of grand separation, but we'll see. Now, the other piece that we haven't talked about is, you know, this settlement, we've talked about what's happening going forward. What's happening moving backward is that NCAA has got to reimburse athletes $2.8 billion for NIL that athletes couldn't have access to prior to 2021. How's the NCAA going to do that? Well, about 60-65% of that $2.8 billion is going to come from the NCAA withholding money from the schools. Usually it distributes an immense amount from the March Madness TV contracts. Some of that's now going to get withheld from the schools. So that is another basically expense. When you total the whole thing up, that with money withheld by the NCAA, the revenue sharing, and this change they're doing with rosters, you're going to have more scholarship expenses. The total is going to be, could be 30, 35 million per school per year, at least at the highest level. We'll see how many schools are willing to kind of take that plunge.
What don't you like about this news? What concerns you when you're looking at it, you tilt your head and you're like, I just don't like this. Anything?
Well, there's too many unknowns still to know exactly, and I don't like the unknowns. That's part of it too. I don't, you know, the Title IX piece, how they're going to distribute the money among the athletes, how they're going to pay for it. There's a whole nother antitrust suit against the NCAA in Colorado right now that is making its way through the court system. So I certainly don't. I like that there's a little bit of clarity, but I also don't like that we're still. I mean, we could be two more years from really knowing what college sports is going to look like going forward.
Okay, so Northern Arizona.
Oh, the other piece. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Sure, go ahead.
I wanted to make sure I mentioned this. The biggest losers in this whole thing?
Right.
the fans, because what happens when schools have more expenses? They turn to donors for help. They raise season ticket prices, right? They raise the
and the donors are already being asked to do the collective.
They're
doing this. And they're doing this. I see it firsthand. I'm around big cigars, and they're being hit on.
And that's not going to stop because the NIL piece is not accounted for in this settlement. There are still going to be booster-run NILs where you have to ask for money. Meanwhile, the schools, which now have to come up with all this additional cash for the athletes and for the increase in scholarships, they're going to go to their donors and say, we need more money. So it's all going to get basically pushed onto the fans in terms of higher costs for tickets and everything else. So I don't like that for sure.
Okay, I got a couple things here. I am a star at said sport, and I'm a high school senior, and I'm going to take my campus visits. I know that there's this $20 million because my parents are actually going to be educated on it, my coaches, my circle, whatever. They're not going to spend $20 million on one player, but in my interest in this university, how much of that $20 million versus how much from the collective, if I'm the head football coach and I'm sitting in my recruiting meetings and I've got to figure out how much I'm going to parse to that player over there, to that player, and then I've got to go to the collective and say, hey, I need you to help out, because the coaches can now talk to the collective. So I'm going just on the recruiting end of this, John. I don't know if I'm too far in the weeds on this, but I'm just looking at it for the fans saying, well, how do we recruit a stud player to come to our place now into these new guidelines?
Well, that player is going to get $25,000, $50,000, maybe $100,000, depending on how the schools choose to allocate their money, is part of the revenue sharing. But then, right, that collective is going to say, you know what, you come put your face on a billboard for our local car dealership and we'll give you another $250,000. That's why the NIL piece is not going away, and it's going to be an important part of the whole economic model here.
So the football coach could go to the NIL people and say, look, can you handle this whole piece? Because I need to save some over here for this player.
He could, yeah.
I think that's what I'm getting. It's really drilling down on this, to your point about the fans, the ones that are getting screwed, because I'm around these big cigar boosters, and it's gross. These people just come swallowing in on a Monday afternoon at a local restaurant. We're all sitting around having a cold one, and it's just, oh, my gosh. This person's trolling for NIL money today for this player or that player.
And right. I don't see how that's going to end. I really don't. And, you know, we don't know what this other case is going to do. It's an antitrust case that involves paying players. We don't know what the future challenges for Title IX are going to be. But everything is more money. They need more money. And the scholarship, or the revenue sharing piece, is tied to the athletic department's revenue, right? Mm-hmm. So as the TV contracts pay more and more money, the revenue goes up, and the revenue sharing responsibilities are going to increase. What's going to happen then? They're going to need even more money from fans to support the operations. It's just this endless cycle, and the fans are going to end up taking a huge brunt of the economic responsibility. I don't see how that's not going to happen.
So you're San Jose State, you're recruiting a player, and you're Stanford, and you're recruiting a player, and you have the same set of rules, but you really don't. San Jose State's going to be up against it. I'll use even smaller university, Northern Arizona University in this state. They're very concerned up there about this.
Oh, sure.
They should be. We're going to see these smaller universities in the middle of small communities in our country. They're going to be like, how do we exactly do this when we're at Idaho State? How exactly do we do this if we're at San Jose State? If they're
right.
So take me down that path a little.
Well, that's why it's called a permissive cap, right? Right now, the number is about $21 million in revenue sharing, but you don't have to go to $21 million. You could do whatever
why
you want.
Why wouldn't you, though? Why wouldn't you?
Well, if you're a major football playing school, you have to for
recruiting
purposes.
Right.
But if you're NAU or San Jose State, you may not be able to. So that's why we'll have to see what the schools end up doing. Some won't do it. Some will have to pay half that. And the thing is that those schools aren't competing now as it is. San Jose State's not competing for the playoff. Idaho State's not competing. Right. So in some ways, nothing will change. But it's going to be very difficult for the lower revenue schools.
No, but I think what you said earlier is true. This is a step closer to the have-nots that we've been forecasting that's coming. What am I missing here? What have I not asked you that you're like, Brad, come on, man, this is right in front of your nose. You should be talking to me about this.
No, we've covered the bulk of it. I mean, we don't want to get too far in the weeds.
Oh, sure we do, John. We love getting in the weeds. Get in the weeds. Legal go for
stuff,
it.
No, the legal stuff it'll put you and me to sleep, right? I mean, the thing that this case, it's not just the Grant House case, right? The former ASU swimmer. It's a combination of antitrust lawsuits that have basically been merged together. You know, the only thing we haven't really talked about is implementation.
Right.
What has happened now that the conferences and the NCAA have approved it? The judge, Claudia Wilkin, who is, you know, up the road from me in Oakland, Northern California court, she's got to approve it. She's got to decide, you know what, this is fair. She's got to decide when it's going to get implemented. My best guess is the fall of 2025, but certainly something like this could get delayed another year. We're at least 15 months away from implementation. But we've covered everything because there's still so many unknowns, right? Between Title IX and how they're going to share the revenue and how they're going to pay for it, we just don't know.
But if you're a kid, if you're a parent, I'm going down even to the high school level because we do some high school here. That kid's a quarterback and he's a sophomore in high school. He's going to be walking into a completely new world in his recruitment because academically, what's your GPA? It's 4.0. Cha-ching, here's some academic dollars. Your football, okay, here's some. Cha-ching, NIL, cha-ching. It's always been there, but now it's going to be guaranteed being there. I shouldn't say it's always been there. The NIL has come in just in the last years. There was never this on campus where we have a pool of money that we're going to pay you. So a kid who's coming in the class of 2025 is walking into, or 2026 rather, is walking into a completely new world of recruitment, unseen anywhere at any point, any time. And I can see crazy parent going way over the top on this stuff because they see a pot of gold now in high school where they didn't see that before.
Right. That's why it's going to be so important to see how the schools choose to distribute that $20 million. How much is going to football? And then how much is going to the quarterback and the offensive tackle and the edge rusher? I mean, you're going to really, it's like you have to basically manage a salary cap if you're a football coach. How much is going to go to men's basketball, right?
So, but that comes from Graham Rossini now, okay? Or that comes from Francois. That comes from the athletic director of how much are we going to give to said sport? Or does the president of the university say, why are we giving this much money? Or Big Booster steps in and says, why are you not giving more money to this sport? Because I played the sport when I was here 30 years ago. I want more money given to this sport than what you're giving to that sport.
It's going to all have to get worked out at the campus level. Absolutely. And it's going to be different. ASU may pay more for football than Arizona. They both may have a $21 million revenue sharing cap. But Arizona, because of basketball, maybe Arizona only allocates, you know, $12 million for football, whereas ASU goes to $15 million. And then what about the Olympic sports? So I don't think the conferences are going to dictate, you know, how you break it down. I think it's probably going to be at the campus level. But again, we don't know the answers there. There's a lot to be resolved.
Okay. When I saw this earlier in the week, that the first two conferences, there are five conferences that all had to sign off on this, right?
Yes. Yep.
So the five conferences that signed off, the first two were the ACC and the Big 12.
Right, right.
And I'm thinking to myself, why don't we just merge now, guys? Let's just get this over with because it feels very much like this isn't just guessing. The ACC and Big 12 are eventually going to be together, John. It's just much more clear.
Certain schools are definitely going to be together. I agree with you. I think the order in which the conferences approved the settlement had to do with the this basically the calendar, the order in which their presidents got together to vote, which was based on pre-arranged spring okay. meeting schedules. So like the ACC had their spring meetings in Amelia Island, Florida, set for a certain date. So their presidents approved the settlement that day. But on a broad scale, I totally agree with you. Certain schools in the ACC, the lower half, some of them are going to end up in a bigger Big 12. There's no doubt some of them are going to end up in the SEC and Big 10. The ACC is going to break apart at some point, maybe in 2 years, maybe in 6 or 8. But yeah, those conferences are going to, it's going to be like the SEC at 24 and the Big 10 at 24, and then like this Big 12 mix at like 24, 28 schools. I think that's what we're going to end up with. Just a matter of time until we get there.
All right.
The other thing.
Yeah,
I got one more piece to.
Oh, sure. Go for it.
Is another thing that this doesn't account for, this settlement, is unionization and collective bargaining, right? The National Labor Relations Board has two cases against the NCAA right now, one involving USC, one involving Dartmouth. This is basically what has happened is there's a revenue sharing plan that has not been collectively bargained with the athletes. It has been bargained between the NCAA and the plaintiffs, but the athletes don't have a mechanism to collectively bargain. So some attorneys who are much smarter than I am about all this believe that this is not going to stand up legally because the terms were not collectively bargained. We'll see. But that's just a whole nother piece that's got to get resolved.
John is going to law school now. He's been checking his phone, putting in his application as we've been doing this 20-minute little.
Oh, my gosh.
Crazy. You love this. You love this.
It's interesting. I question sometimes how much the fans care.
Because oh, they care. Do you think in May they want to talk about Michigan against Oregon? Come on.
Oh, yeah, they do. Well, we didn't even get to that. We didn't even get to all the other news this week, right? Rossini's officially ASU's athletic director. Fox announces their Friday night lineup of games.
That Rutgers USC game caught my eye, man. I might go to Piscataway just to be up at 1:30 in the morning at the start of the third quarter.
Right. private equity in college athletics.
Yep.
This week, it was ridiculous how much news. And next week there'll be more news. Late next week, the conferences are going to announce the TV, the kickoff times for the first 3 weeks of the season. So, you know, we'll figure out when all those ASU and Arizona non-conference games are going to be played. That's late next week. Tons of news.
All right. Go enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. I'll see you in a week or two. All right.
Sounds good. Thanks very much, Brad.
There's John Wilner. His head is exploding. And this, by the way, is coffee, in case you're wondering what I'm trying to sift through all this. We're back with more after this time out.